So as far as the rehearing in bank goes, there was a simple per curiam decision denying the rehearing en banc. Judges Dyke, Wallach, and Toronto basically said, you know, there's really nothing new to see here. Just go ahead and move along. This is pretty much the straightforward application of what the Supreme Court's been doing since 1853 with the Samuel Morse case and the Telegraph case. Judges Chen and Wallach have another opinion, which goes into more detail about the O'Reilly versus Morse case and why they think that it controls in this case. And then we get to the dissenting opinions. Judge Newman writes an opinion that's joined by a number. Her view is that the majority fails woefully to try and distinguish the different treatment of claims 1 and 22. We have Judges Stoll, Newman, Moore, O'Malley, and Reyna, that the nothing more test is a new test, and it's a troubling new test, and it's not justified by the O'Reilly v. Morse case. And then we have yet another opinion that again says this nothing more test is a new test, and just as a matter of basic fairness and justice should have been briefed by the parties, or we should have remanded it to Judge Stark to let him try and figure it out first and deal with it. So here we are waiting for the petition for cert, and Judge Moore entered another order on the denial of the stay of the Federal Circuit's mandate more recently, saying that, you know, the Supreme Court often takes cases where there's a circuit split, and here there's not a circuit split, but there's a clear split by the judges on the court that hear all the patent cases in the country. So this one, I think she was trying to give it a little extra bump up the ladder to try and get the Supreme Court to take this one. So it'll be interesting to see if they take the bait. The last case on my list is the Illumina versus Ariosa case. This is, again, basically the second verse of the same song. A year ago, we talked, actually, it was back in 2015, we had the Ariosa versus Sequinon case, which involved patents on the ability to test fetal DNA and be able to detect paternal DNA from the cell-free fetal DNA that's found in the mother's bloodstream. And so the discovery that there's free-floating fetal DNA in a pregnant mother's bloodstream was apparently a very novel invention, a complete discovery. And the doctors that made the discovery then went on to patent different ways of dealing with the cell-free fetal DNA, test for genetic abnormalities. And the patent that was at issue in the first Ariosa case essentially, I think, made amniocentesis totally unnecessary. And so this was really a great invention, but the Federal Circuit applied the Mayo, Myriad, and Bilski and Alice test and held that the patent was invalid no matter how great the discovery was. So fast forward to today, and we have two more patents from the same doctors, and these patents are talking about trying to prepare a better DNA sample for testing. And one of the things they discovered was that when you have cell-free fetal DNA that's obtained from the pregnant mother's bloodstream, is that you also have cell-free maternal DNA in the same blood. And so when you want to do genetic testing of the DNA, you sometimes end up testing the mother's DNA maybe sometimes you're testing the fetal DNA.